Yes, people, big up. Welcome back to everyone on Sarcasm City Twitch. We are back, a late video, but we are back for the UFC 300 Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill recap video. I am joined by my co-panelist, Men Like Spoobs.
Big up, everyone. Big up.
How are you feeling today, bro?
Not too bad. A bit tired, but we'll get through this.
Yeah, same. I'm feeling a little tired as well, people, but we have to always and obviously make the content. No days off. We can't stop, man, for real. But we are here. Not going to be too long of a stream, to be honest, because it's just a recap where you're pretty much going to go through all the fights. I have all the fights pulled up, so we will get right into it. Before, though, Spoobs, just overall thoughts on the card. Are you happy with UFC 300? UFC 300 was meant to be one of the big ones because, you know, it's a 300 milestone. I think they delivered, to be honest. I think they did a good job in terms of the fights. In terms of who they could have got, I think they did a very, very good job. Obviously did it in Vegas. That's like, you know, the Madison Square Garden when it comes to UFC. But your thoughts, bro, overall on the card before we get into every single fight?
Yeah, I thought it was a class card, to be honest. And obviously, we'd done the watch-along for it as well. We had people dropping in. It was good crack. Everyone was enjoying themselves. And yeah, but the fights, I was entertained. Couple of fights, they were all, there's some fights that were downers, but they were all in the prelims, so it's not that bad. But overall,
yeah.
I would, a 10, I would give the card a 8. 8 seems okay.
An 8. Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm kind of more excited about the announcements Dana made after about Conor and you know, all the other fights. We can get into that a bit more, but
yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into that. Hey, cool. Fair enough. A couple of fights of the nights that they've already pretty much established themselves, but we'll just go based off of order. So we'll start off with the prelims. Then we'll go to the normal prelim. Oh, we'll go to the early prelims, then the normal prelims, then the main card itself. So let me go ahead and share my screen. One moment. Cool. So we've pretty much got the card right here. The first fight, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really catch the prelims. I saw like highlights here and there, but we'll go through them. Figueredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I don't know if you know Spoobs. Cody Garbrandt's actually from Sacramento. He's a local town.
Yeah, that's right.
He takes a loss. He loses on submission, second round. I've seen Figueredo fight before. I think it was God, what's his name? Brandon Moreno. Yes, he's fought Brandon Moreno a couple of times.
Yeah,
and he's won. He's lost. Like, I've seen that a couple of times. So in terms of him, I know his style of fighting. I'm quite surprised it was submission, but he was my favorite for the fight, Figueredo. So I'm not surprised that he does take the win. Significant strikes. You can tell there were two submission attempts from Figueredo in the fight. Obviously, one of those was successful. Let's see. First round. A lot of striking from Cody Garbrandt, but your thoughts on this fight? I don't know if you
watched. Yeah, see, Cody's been on a wee bit of a down spiral at the minute.
Big up.
And yeah, he's not. I think he's on his way out, to be honest. The only thing he's good at is he can get you those like clips. You know, they're like the one where he's like backed up against the cage and does this huge fucking like in the last second. He's good for the clips like that. But in terms of maybe going up the ranks, I don't think he's. I think he's not going to be going up anytime soon. I missed that fight, but I would imagine if it was by submission, maybe he got caught and then. Maybe got caught and then just got took down, but poor Cody.
I'm looking at takedown attempts. One attempt in the second round, which is when he got his submission. Second round looked like it was all. He had two submission attempts in that round as well. I think. So in the full fight, he had two. Both of those submission attempts came in the second round, and I think that's what did enough. But you're right. Cody Garbrandt's been in the UFC for a minute. Yeah. He's been in and around for a minute. He's had his title shot before as well, but I think he's done as well, to be honest. That makes absolute sense why he's not even in the prelims. He's more in the early prelims. So makes sense. Then we move on to Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. I heard this fight was an absolute bloody fight. I think Jim Miller got cut pretty bad. I remember it was H who sent me the pictures. And if you look at the total strikes, 187 total strikes from Bobby Green. Obviously, Bobby Green wins by unanimous decision, so the full three rounds. If we look at round per round, 43 in the first one, 61 in the second one, 83 total strikes in the third round, one successful takedown as well. So absolute domination by Bobby Green, to be honest. Like, just literally what it looks like. I'm quite surprised Jim Miller didn't get knocked out, or, you know, towel didn't get thrown in or anything like that, because it looks like this guy really dominated the whole fight. Yeah. But your thoughts on this fight? I picked Bobby Green to win just because I'm more familiar with Bobby Green as compared to Jim Miller, but got the business done, man, and he gets the win. Unanimous decision.
Yeah, there's rarely a boring Bobby Green fight. It seems to be every fight he has is always pretty crazy. I looked at the stats. Yeah, that's crazy. I actually did watch it, and it was that they were going at it. Big up to Jim Miller for not, you know, going out. He's a veteran. He's a dog. He's so tough.
Yeah.
I know his picture doesn't really do him justice. He's a veteran of the sport. So, Bobby Green with a dominant win. Big up Bobby Green.
Pick up Bobby Green, man, for real. Then we move on to the women's strawweight bout. I am not going to lie, I did not watch this fight at all either. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Also looks like, from the looks of it,
I watched that one.
You did? Okay. So it's a split. They gave it a split decision. and it looks like it was pretty similar in terms of striking. It was more of a striking fight than submission. One attempt from Marina Rodriguez. Most of it was stand-up. And 124 strikes total for Jessica Andrade, only 94 for Marina. We go round by round. Did you think it was a split decision? Let's just start off with that, because you had
because there was arguments about which one the other fighter won. I really only knew Jessica Andrade. I didn't really know much about the Rodriguez woman. I haven't actually seen her. But I think if you go to round one and round two. Mm-hmm. On that site, is it? Mm-hmm. And then the first, I would have went for Andrade. Second, I don't know. I think it was I thought she won the fight outright, to be honest.
Jessica Andrade, yeah.
The only thing is she finished very strong. The Rodriguez finished very strong. And maybe that's what maybe made the refs think, split decision. But it was a war that they were going at it. Like, they were, it's a striking fest. They were, Andrade looking, she's been in the UFC for a minute as well, but she looked great shape. Didn't slow down, which she normally does sometimes in fights. Convincing one from Andrade for sure.
I think it looks there's no knockdowns in the whole fight. So I'm guessing they went solely based off of points, obviously. And in those points, I think they just narrowed it down to who hit which person where, which was most effective. So, like I said, I didn't really watch the fight, but the stats itself kind of tell that it was a little bit of like a split decision. It makes sense that it's a split decision. But, we move. Jessica Andrade, she gets the win through split decision, but makes sense. Cool. Then we move on to Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano, the last fight of the early prelims. I had predicted Jalen Turner to win, to be honest, and he does not get the win. He gets knocked out in the second round. One knockdown from Jalen Turner in the whole fight. And then round one, round two, let's see. Round one. Yeah, it looks like Renato basically dominated most of this fight. He has 28 significant strikes in the second round, the one where the knockout came. 55 total strikes in the second round. Full fight, he has 87 to only 16. That's crazy. Two takedown attempts as well. So, yeah, it looks like overall it was a domination of a fight from Renato Moicano. Your thoughts on the fight, Swoops?
Moicano's the dominant fighter. He's on a 3-fight win streak. He beat who did he beat? He beat Drew Dober, and then he also beat what's his name? What's his name? It's going blank. Hernandez, the Alex Hernandez guy, beat him too.
Okay.
So Moicano is he's on the upswing at the minute. He's gonna see. He went against Dos Anjos. That was his first big test, and he lost that. And then
Dos Anjos. Yeah.
And then now that he's they're trying to gear him up again, try to get him some fights, try and get him winning again, and then hopefully now he'll get someone in the top 10. Well, Jalen Turner is top 10, but more in the middle part.
Higher up. Higher up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Moicano always a class fighter. You need to watch him.
Crazy. He was the underdog going into this fight, and he actually won. So whoever bet on him would have won almost double their money. Crazy.
Yeah.
But that's it for the early prelims. Then we move on to the regular prelims. A couple of good fights in here, to be honest. They've given one of the fights a performance of the night, too. So we start off with the first one, the featherweight bout. Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Diego Lopez getting a first-round knockout pretty early as well, only a minute and 30 seconds in. Crazy. Looks like this was an absolute domination from the first round itself because it only went the first round. But 29%. So this guy hit 83% of his shots already in the first round. Only two for Youssef. Significant strikes was 26 as compared to two, and already two knockdowns in the first round too. So absolute dominating fight by Diego Lopez. Gets the dub through knockout. Pretty convincing for me. I think I had predicted Diego Lopez as well. He was the favorite going into the fight too. So that kind of does bring him up the ranks. I know Sadiq Youssef is 13th. So this will probably put him a little bit over, maybe 11, 12 or 11, so, something 12, like that. Gets the win convincingly, bro. Your thoughts on the fight?
Yeah, shout out Diego Lopez. He just blitzed him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sadiq Youssef didn't really know what to do. But yeah, overall, it's a convincing win. As he said, two knockdown in the first round. He just had his number, and Sadiq, unfortunately, couldn't answer. But yeah, good fight.
Fair enough. Then we move on to Holly Holm, back again with another fight. If you guys remember Holly Holm, she obviously beat Ronda Rousey for the title back in the day. Crazy fight that was. I think it was like Ronda Rousey's comeback fight, and she got absolutely destroyed in that comeback fight. But anyways, we move. She loses today. She lost on Saturday, I should say. She lost through submission in the second round to Kayla Harrison. I believe Kayla Harrison was making her debut in the UFC. Yeah. I could be wrong, but she was making her debut. So, yeah, second round submission. If we go through the second round as well, let's just go through the full fight. Absolute domination by Kayla Harrison from minute one itself. 68 total strikes to only 7. 2 takedown attempts in the whole fight. And successful takedown attempts. Look at the significant strikes, 51 only compared to 2. So Holly Holm really didn't have a chance at all in this fight. She gets the win, submission second round. First round, if we go through it, again, straight domination. One of the takedown attempts was in the first round, the other one being the second. And then 46 significant strikes only compared to 1. So had it not even finished in submission, I think Kayla Harrison wins by points. Easy. It's not even close. She probably wins all three rounds. But thoughts on the fight? Did you watch it?
If Kayla Harrison, if you don't know the name, remember it, because this is I'm predicting it now, it's the next women's champion. She's extremely dominant. This is her debut. She came from Professional Fighters League, PFL, where she was 15-1. Her wrestling, she's from that... she's got the same manager as Khabib and things like that. So, she's a wrestler. She knows she's very, very dominant, and I don't see anyone being able to stop how just dominant she is on the ground. Remember the name. That's the next future women's champion for sure.
There we go, man. So she's around great company. Khabib's manager, I think his name is Ali Abdulaziz. Ali Abdulaziz. So yeah, great. He's managers of a couple of other people as well. I think Usman, some other fighters and stuff too. Yeah. So great company to be around. Great, pool of champions to be around as well. And I'm excited to see what she does. Holly Holm, in terms of a debut fight, I think is good because one, Holly Holm is another one who's a veteran, but she's also very experienced in the game. So this was no way, shape, or form an easy fight for Kayla Harrison, but she's done very, very well. I'm very surprised with how dominant she was in her first fight. So like Spoop said, definitely keep an eye out for Kayla Harrison, people. She's going to be one who could be a future bantamweight champion. But moving on, we do go to one of the two fights which I thought were very good fights, to be honest, or I was looking forward to. Aljamain Sterling back in action after obviously losing the featherweight title to Sean O'Malley. He's back in action today, on Saturday. He wins by unanimous decision, surprisingly, against Calvin Cutter. Calvin Cutter is a good opponent, I'm not going to lie, for Aljamain Sterling. Been around the fight game for a minute now as well. But not that good of a performance from Calvin Cutter in this fight. Makes sense why it's a unanimous decision. Total strikes, if you go through it, 70% of Aljamain Sterling's strikes, he got 70% of total strikes in that fight. 89 total strikes, 8 takedown attempts, and 8 takedowns by Aljamain Sterling. 39 significant strikes only compared to 8 for Calvin Cutter. To go round by round, just absolute domination. 80% in the second round, 46% in the first round. The first round was a little bit even in terms of striking, even though significant strikes were more for Aljamain Sterling. Third round, absolute domination again. He got around at least 2 takedown attempts in each round. So Aljamain Sterling kept up the pressure for sure. And he gets the win in unanimous decision, bro. Thoughts on the fight?
Dominant from Sterling. Dominant performance. Cutter didn't really offer that whole, that much. I think Sterling's just trying to find his feet after that TKO to Sean O'Malley. So his last fight was Henry Cejudo that won the decision, and he won that. And this one won the decision. I think he's just trying to find his feet a wee bit. And then he'll start gearing up. And I think he'll want to go and try again against Sean O'Malley. Whether he'll get that chance, who knows? Depends who he gets put in front of. Dominant from Sterling. There's levels, and he's just far better than Calvin.
Fair enough. They might be, who knows, they might set up a Cheeto Aljamain Sterling fight, something like that. Who knows, man? Because he is ranked 2 at the moment. But yeah, good convincing performance from Aljamain Sterling. In terms of the fight, a lot of people said it was boring. I thought it was okay. I just like fights that are kind of like, at least something is going on instead of the two just, defending themselves. I like those type of fights personally. But also at the same time, you like to always recognize someone's game. And I think that was a fight to definitely recognize Aljamain Sterling's game. He absolutely dominated. But moving on, we go to the main event of the prelims, basically. Prozhaka in a light heavyweight bout against Alexander Rakic wins through knockout in the second round. Another fight which seems like it was a very, very good fight. Significant strikes, 69 significant strikes. So every single strike that Prozhaka had was a significant strike, which is crazy, which was very effective from all the strikes he took place. 1 takedown for Prozhaka in the second round when he got the knockout itself. Pretty even. Round 1 was actually more for Alexander Rakic in terms of striking. More significant strikes too, but I guess Prozhaka turned the table and turned the tide. Second round, he comes out with the knockout. Thoughts, Boops, on the fight?
Yeah, this fight was crazy because Jiří was actually in trouble a lot of time in that fight. He had a massive cut as well. And you're like, oh God, this is the beginning of the end. And your man Rakic was leg kicking him and he wasn't moving right. He was like, you can see he's off balance. And for Jiří to pull that off, he's a warrior, man. Both fighters, coming off a loss, Yuri's coming back from his loss to Pereira. So he wanted to prove himself. Rakic is coming off a loss or a TKO loss from Jan. So he wanted to, try and he was looking good. He was doing well. It's just with Jiří, he's so unpredictable. He's so unpredictable. You can't ever count him out because all of a sudden he'll just put you to sleep. But yeah, it's an insanely good fight, and I'm excited to see what Jiří does next.
Fair enough. There we go. So yeah, performance of the night from UFC itself. That's one of the performance of the nights that they've given. I don't necessarily agree. I think 2 of the performance of the nights were in the main card, but we'll get through them whenever we do. But prelims are over. We do now enter the main card for the bouts. First fight, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. This fight was, again, a domination as well. I think Bo Nickel, from the first minute, was dominating the whole fight, was super aggressive, didn't really let Cody Brundage even breathe in the octagon. Could have honestly finished it in the first round, but second round was where he tapped him out. I think it was an absolute just domination. 8 significant strikes in the full fight. So it was definitely something that he was looking for, the submission most of the time. Striking wasn't too much, but Cody Brundage was just on ropes basically the whole time. But yeah, good fight. Pretty decent way to start off the card. I had predicted Bo Nickel to win. He remains undefeated. So very, very interesting to see where Bo Nickel gets as well in terms of his upcoming fights. He probably gets a big one now, like a veteran name or an experienced name before he eventually gets his title shot, which I think he should if he does keep this undefeated streak going. But yeah, impressive from Bo Nickel. Spoops, your thoughts, bro?
Another name to remember, Bo Nickel. He's gearing up to be a title contender without a doubt in the middleweight weight. He came from Dana White's Contender Series. That's where they signed for you, and he's had 3 fights, including this one. And the first two, he's ended them in both in the first round. And as you can see, his takedown is wrestling again. Wrestlers are starting to flood the sport, man. They're starting to wrestling seems to be the way forward. But his wrestling very dominant. Cody Brundage should give him a bit more opposition than his last 2 fights. Cody Brundage is a good wrestler himself. Give him a wee bit. That's why it took him to the second round. But overall, Bo Nickel's just levels above, and that's definitely a name to remember.
Definitely. Then we go to Charles Oliveira versus Armand. Another good fight, to be honest. Armand just kept the pace. Very impressed by Armand, to be honest, because I think Charles Oliveira, a couple of times, had him in a submission hold, was not able to get the submission, though. 4 submission attempts from Charles Oliveira himself, so he really, really tried. 19 significant strikes to 49. I think Oliveira was trying to make this a ground game, and then Armand was just trying to keep it standing up. But good fight. When he took him down, he was able to get some shots in during the clinch, also while they were on the ground as well. So 23 shots on the ground, 6 in the clinch, 23 in the distance as well. Yeah, I think it's deserved in terms of the rounds and the split decision as well. Just made absolute sense that Charles Oliveira, I don't think he really did that well during the fight, but good to see Charles Oliveira back. Obviously, Charles Oliveira has not been the same since he fought certain fighters too. He's had wins in between here and there, but he's not at that top level, which I think we all expect him to be. But good win for Armand, to be honest. That makes him go up the ranks too. There's been talks of him fighting a big fighter too. We'll see what happens then. But good win from Armand, in my opinion. But we'll go to you, Swoops.
Very, very good win for Armand. Kind of cement himself at the top. Definitely going to get a big name next. We've seen him, and he's a dog. He can
fight.
Big up Mudge. He can scrap. He can wrestle. He can. You know, he's got it all in his arsenal. So, excited for Armand's next fight. I want to see what kind of opponent they put him up against, but hopefully it's a big name. Hopefully.
There we go. Yeah, I was really impressed by Armand too, because Charles Oliveira is a little bit of all. He's very good at jiu-jitsu, of course, hailing from Brazil. Jiu-jitsu has a mix of both striking, wrestling, all that type of stuff. So a good opponent to go up against, and a very, very experienced opponent itself. But I just think Charles Oliveira, after he's taken, the loss against Islam and stuff like that, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. Just not at the top level anymore. But good win from Armand, man. Definitely that's a statement win.
Do you remember we were watching that, and he was walking out and he punched someone?
that was hilarious.
The fan, they were worried about the fan suing him, but the fan said he's not going to sue, but he wants tickets to the McGregor-Chandler fight.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, but very convincing statement win from him. Good one from Armand for sure. Then we go on to which, for me, was the fight of the night for sure. Yeah. UFC have also given it the performance of the night. I think it was the second in terms of my opinion, but the top performance of the night was definitely this one. There's another fight, which is the main event, which I think was another performance of the night. But we go into this fight. Very, very entertaining fight. from both fighters, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway, absolute dogs. I think this is a fight that everybody was looking forward to in this whole card. You can tell, five-round fight for the BMF title, 103 significant, 103 total strikes or significant strikes by Justin Gaethje, 181 significant strikes by Max Holloway. Went down to the final round, went down to the last second too. So Justin Gaethje does get knocked out, but he gets knocked out with a second left. I think it was literally this. I'd seen the highlights after the fight. There's a little bit of a segment around, I think, 5 or 6 seconds before the fight ends where Max Holloway tells Justin Gaethje to get to the center of the octagon, and he said, let's just start throwing. And they're like, all right, let's just start throwing. And then Max Holloway just hit it clean, man, and he knocks out Justin Gaethje. But very, very good fight. Thoroughly entertained the whole time. I think momentum was switching here and there, both sides, but majority of the rounds, I think Max Holloway was winning anyways. Had this not been a knockout, I think Max Holloway wins regardless, but great fight to watch for sure. But yeah, go on, Spook.
Well, we were gassed in the watch along for that fight. It was good.
Absolutely gassed. Yep.
But yeah, Matt, we were all counting Max out. Justin's a bigger guy. He just needs that one punch, you know. But Max looked so quick. He looked amazing in this fight. I thought it was insane. The speed, just the accuracy. He didn't like, even though he was the smaller guy, you can just tell like how much quicker he is. Like you could see it. And then the first round we were wondering like, why is Gaethje so beat up? Like it looked like the strikes were like, they weren't big, huge, like overhands that Max was throwing. It was just like, you know, just jabbing and straights and hooks. And it's just, but he was, he just didn't look beat up. He looked dead. But it was a great fight. Big up Max. And I don't know what they'll do next, but damn, that Max is he is sticking in there. He's been in the UFC for a long, long, long time now. And for him to get that win, that's amazing. Big up Max.
Also, yeah, man. Like Max Holloway, absolute respect to him, because not only does he show his level of, you know, the type of fighter that he is, but he also just makes it a very entertaining fight. Every single time, most of the fights that I've watched for Max Holloway have all been entertaining fights. So it's like, hats off to him. He knows how to put on a show. Wins the performance of the night too, thoroughly deserved. But yeah, man, absolute respect to Max Holloway. He's been doing it in this game for a minute. With the amount of damage that he takes in some of these fights too, it's crazy that he's able to walk out and still perform, you know, at the highest level every single time. Yeah. But yeah, very, very impressive to see Max Holloway win the fight. Definitely, definitely performance of the night for me. But then we move on to the co-main event, women's strawweight title bout, Zhang Weili versus Yan. I'm not going to lie, this is a pretty boring fight. You look at the total strikes, 256 total strikes from Zhang. 106 are only significant. So she was really just throwing, just to throw. Didn't really care if it landed or not. Two submission attempts for her, 6 takedowns, and 3 only for Yan. And then if we go round by round, looked like it was pretty much domination from Zhang. There was a couple of moments here and there where we were actually rooting for Yan, where we thought she had Zhang wobbled and was getting a couple of good strikes in here or there. I'm trying to look at which round it is. I think it was round 3 where she kind of kept the pace. 2 takedown attempts in round 3. Strikes were pretty much the same. She had more effective ones. So round 3 was when we thought the tide maybe was shifting, but Zhang came out and, you know, when you're fighting as a champion, all you really pretty much have to do is just defend yourself. You can win through points. Judges will always favor you because you are the champion. It has to be a very, very convincing win for the challenger to win by points. But she gets the job done. A couple of fights that I've seen her now too. She's been a champion for a minute, so respect to her. Not sure if there's anyone really out there in that strawweight title division who could challenge her at the moment, but she's doing exceptionally well. But Spoofs, we'll go to you. Your thoughts on the fight, bro?
Do you remember in that fight, it was towards the end of the round where I think it was Zhang was like trying to submit her and she looked out. Remember, she had to like push her off her at the end?
Yeah, she did.
There's a controversy because someone in the in Yan's corner, they were caught using smelling salts to wake her back up again. So that was a big controversy because people, you're obviously not allowed to do that. But again,
I thought she was out. I'm not gonna lie.
I thought so too. Yeah, fuck. I thought she was out. But yeah, Zhang. There is no one in this strawweight division that's gonna challenge Zhang. No one's. Okay. Hopefully, they get someone coming up. Unless you know, Rose Namajunas is the last person to beat her. Maybe she wants to come back, but I don't think so. Zhang's time. I think she's gonna dominate for a little bit until a new one, a new fighter comes along. But yeah, Zhang dominant.
There we go. So yeah, Zhang gets the win. Then we go on to the main event. A fight that I was really surprised by, but I think it was so badass the way that he won. Alex Pereira gets the win over Jamal Hill in the first round knockout. It's crazy. I'll give you guys a walkthrough on how the knockout took place. Referee was trying to intervene in the fight, and this guy Alex Pereira just shoved the referee away, told him to back off, and said, "Hey, hold my beer, I got this," and then just proceeded to knock him out within a couple of seconds. So yeah, absolutely cold from Alex Pereira. A very, very good fighter. Obviously, we've seen his doubts. He's answered his critics in a very, very good way. He's in a completely different division now, and he's been champion in both the divisions that he's fought in so far. In the UFC, obviously beating Izzy in the past, obviously beating Prozhaka too, to win that light heavyweight title bout. But yeah, impressive win from him. I thought this would be a knockout. I just didn't think it would be so early. I thought maybe in the second round or the third round. But very, very impressive performance. Jamal Hill really didn't stand a chance in the first round at all. It only went the first round. Let's see, 12 total strikes, 12 significant strikes. Pereira got a knockdown as well. So yeah, pretty convincing win. This for me was the second performance of the night, to be honest, because it's the main event. It is a first round knockout. Man, probably got a massive performance bonus for that. For that first round knockout. But hey, yeah, man, can't deny the fact that this guy's an absolute elite fighter. Alex Pereira has been in different games, you know, kickboxing, stuff like that. He's dominated in every sport. Just a fighter in general, like, you can just tell that this guy's an absolute stone cold killer. But very, very impressive win, man. GG's to Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
And still light heavyweight champion. But go on, Spooks.
Yeah, no, dominant performance. I don't want to hear it, but I think this is where I love the knockout, but in terms of like competitiveness and mm-hmm. being the main fight of a UFC 300, mm-hmm. I thought this is a bit of a mismatch. Jamal Hill, I'm not hating on him, but I would want to see someone bigger, you know, fight Pereira. I want to see something bigger in name,
yeah.
A bit more, you know, reputation of the person that he's fighting. But yeah, oh man, the knockout was cool. Just, he was like, "No, go away, ref." And just proceeded to knock him out. I think it was because he got hit or like poked in the eye or something. He was trying to stop it to help Alex Pereira because he got hit weird. And then he was like, "No, I don't want you. Just leave me alone." And just went to knock. Oh, that was cool. But Pereira, yeah, he is a killer, bro. Just even hearing him talk and speak, he's just, there's no emotion. He's just like, oh yeah, stone cold killer.
Yeah.
And I want to see his next fight. Give him someone big. I want a bigger name. Yeah,
absolutely hear you. So yeah, that's the recap basically on the UFC 300. Good card in general. Do we think they could have added more fights or done different fights to make this card better? 100%. There's always room for improvement. But I think from all the resources, facilities that they basically had, it was a decent card. It was definitely a card to look forward to watch back on if you weren't able to watch it with us in the watch along or just in your own time. Definitely check this whole card out. Check out the Alex Pereira fight. Definitely check out the Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway fight. Check out the Prozhaka and Rakic fight too. Definitely some good fights in there. A couple that you could definitely watch in your free time. But with that being said, that is the 300. We were going to discuss a couple of other things as well. So let me go ahead and share my screen on that as well. But Dana White, right after the event, announced more fights. Some big ones are this one right here. So Dana White announces McGregor versus Chandler. Finally, this fight is taking place. Absolutely, finally. Like, there's been so many times where this fight has been canceled. To be honest, it could still be canceled. You never know.
Yeah.
But this fight has been in the works for almost a year and a half now. They've been trying to make this fight happen. Michael Chandler's called him out on two different occasions in the UFC. They both, you know, go back and forth on social media quite a lot. McGregor obviously doing the most. They're part of the Ultimate Fighter Challenger Series right now, too. It was ultimately decided that McGregor's team would be facing up against Chandler's team. At the end of that, it would be McGregor versus Chandler. Never happened, but now they finally announced it, and it looks like UFC 303 is where they're targeting this fight to be at. Right now, obviously, we just got done with UFC 300, so a couple of months until that does take place. Another big fight that they've announced is Islam Makhachev versus Dustin Poirier at UFC 302 for the lightweight division. Another one that they've also announced is Sean Strickland versus Paulo Costa, 5-round co-main event for that card. So that card is going to be absolutely crazy. Do I think Paulo Costa should have fought Sean Strickland? Honestly, no. I think it should have been someone else. Can't remember who this fighter is that I'm trying to think who it should have been. But it is what it is. It's still a great card, the UFC 302. But UFC 302, it looks like they're targeting it for Saturday, June 1st. So only like 2 months or so away. And you guys already know we will be here for the watch along, yeah, for the preview, for the recap, all that type of stuff. We will definitely be here. This card is definitely one to look at. I'm reading a little bit of some other stuff that they're saying. So June 1st is that one. And then later that month on June 29th, it is McGregor versus Michael Chandler. So you will actually see two watch alongs in 1 month, in which June is crazy. In June. So June's definitely the month for UFC. I'm not going to lie, this year. A couple of things that I'm reading. Speaking of the lightweight title, Islam Makhachev makes his defense of his belt against former interim champion Dustin Poirier. A little bit of history tied to this as well. Dustin Poirier had fought Khabib in Abu Dhabi for the same title, and he lost. He lost on a submission. And it's crazy because Dustin Poirier almost tapped Khabib out, which is crazy in that fight. Because he had him in a guillotine, just didn't have it tight enough, and Khabib pulled out and was able to get the win. But this one's going to be interesting. Very, very interesting fight. I want to see what the rest of the card is going to look like, too, for both these cards. Because I think if you're going up with these main events, you have to go up with a absolute banger of a card. You could have one or two other good fights in there, too, but definitely something to look out for. There's also a fight night. I think it is Chimaev.
Oh, yes, that's 22nd June, is it?
Yeah, Chimaev versus
Whitaker.
Whitaker, yep, Robert Whitaker, yep, that's it. I'm just reading this here. Bo Nickel tells Daniel Cormier he wants Khamzat Chimaev. Interesting. Yeah. That will be a very, very interesting fight as well. But yeah, people, so that's pretty much it. Lots of good fights to look forward to. A lot of good fights, a lot of, you know, fighters coming back and making their return. McGregor, of course. We'll do our quick predictions on both these fights, Boobs. McGregor versus Chandler. T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas as well. So, you know, Las Vegas is going to turn up for this one. They love McGregor, but yeah. I'm not going to lie. I think Michael Chandler wins this fight. I don't think McGregor is anywhere near the level he used to be. Khabib absolutely humbled him. He's not been the same since. He just does so much of these antics off the octagon, outside of the octagon, which I feel like doesn't really favor him. He's not really entirely fit, in my opinion, because he'd be doing all this crazy shit. But with that being said, I think Michael Chandler beats him, to be honest. And I think it's a knockout, too. I don't even think it's
wrong. I think so, too. Yeah. Chandler, I'd go. When McGregor's acting, he's got his businesses, he's got his one foot out and one foot in. Chandler's in the gym, you know, he's an absolute dog. He will get into a war. And I think Chandler just puts him away. I don't think McGregor's heart's in it anymore. He's coming back. It's a tough fight. It's tough. Chandler is tough. It is. I see a knockout for Chandler as well.
There we go. Cool. So that's the first one. Then we've got the title fight. Islam Makhachev versus Dustin Poirier. I'm going for Islam Makhachev first round submission. That's what I'm going for.
I would go... I think Islam knocks him out, you know.
Could do that too. When people doubted his stand-up game, This dude knocked the shit out of Alexander Volkanovski. So he replied, man. But I ain't doubting his strike game. I just think he's going to put on the absolute clinic when it comes to his submission game. Because, like I said, key thing to note, this he lost on submission to his master, you know, his trainer, Khabib. So I'm sure this is something that's going to be ringing in his head still because he knows that that's where he lost his fight. But I think he knows that that's where this guy can lose his fight. So he's going to try to dominate him on that aspect from minute one. And he, not saying that he is Khabib when it comes to wrestling, but he's very, very close to him. They're all elite. These Dagestanis
are he's miles above anyone else in that division.
He's miles above anybody else. But if Khabib was still in the division, then it's like a debate to be had. But these Dagestani boys are just different breed. You don't mess with these guys when it comes to wrestling, bro. They're actually one of the most elite in the world. But I think he gets the win easy. I think it's a very, very convincing win. Puts on an absolute clinic, bro. I'm just happy to see Islam back in the octagon. It's been a minute since we've seen him fight, but
I'd go Islam too. I think Poirier, no disrespect to Poirier, like if you're going to lose to Poirier, he will put you out. Like, he is tough as well. Like, you don't want to sit and swing with Poirier because, you know, it'll be a rough night for you. But yeah, I think Islam, take him down, do what Khabib done to him. And yeah, Islam takes the one.
There we go. But yeah, people, that's pretty much it. We've been locked in for 42 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for locking in for all these three different streams that we had. Again, apologies for the recap not being on the Sunday. Obviously, we just had some stuff to take care of, time, scheduling, all that stuff. Just us being tired, too, from doing streams all weekend. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the UFC 300 watch-along, recap, and preview. Great card. Like I said, just summarizing the card itself, Alex Pereira does take the win, first round knockout over Jamahal Hill, and is still light heavyweight champion. Performance of the night does go to him, and also Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway, where Max Holloway knocked Justin Gaethje out with only 1 second left in the fifth round for the BMF title. These fights that we had just discussed, a couple of good ones to look out for. Obviously, these two that we just discussed, the Islam and the Michael Chandler, that's UFC 302 and 303. We are still waiting to see what gets announced for UFC 301. So 301 itself will be a watch-along that we will do. I'm guessing that will be sometime next month. And then UFC 302 will be June 1st. UFC 303 will be June 29th. So bunch of UFC content to look out for. You'll see a card in the next 3 months. In June, you'll see two. So, like I said, man, definitely thank you all for for dropping in, for, you know, being there during the watch along up until like 5 or 6 a.m. for UK people. Obviously, for us, it was around the evening time. But big up, man. Big up to you as well, Spoots, for joining all three shows. Appreciate you, bro, every single time. But any final things you have to say before we close out?
To subscribe to the Sarcom City Twitch if you haven't already. Go over to the YouTube Sarcom City, go over to the Twitter, go on to the playback, watch the NBA games. I'm not a big NBA fan, but you can watch it at real time with your friends, all synced up, no getting on Discord and fucking shit like that. So definitely, even if you don't like NBA, go and subscribe to the playback. It's fucking awesome. And subscribe to Sheik TV and pick up everyone for tuning in.
Yeah, man, pretty much the same thing. Like you said, check out all Sarcasm City channels. Obviously, follow the Twitch, subscribe to the Twitch if you haven't already. Check out the YouTube, Sarcasm City TV Gaming, where me and Spoobs are there sometimes. Sarcasm City TV, where myself, I'm there during watch-alongs, Mandem United. I also have my own channel right under my name right here. It says Sheik TV. That is the channel of my name on YouTube. Subscribe to that if you haven't already as well, Road to 300. Subscribe to Spoobie, too. He has his own channel as well, Spoobie MUFC. Bunch of shows that we do as a panel on there, you know, the Mud Brothers Show, United Watch reactions, previews, all that type of good stuff, man. So tons of content, and like Spoob said, playback, Sarcasm City TV playback. We will actually be going live today. Unfortunately, my team plays today in the play-in against the Warriors, so it is win or go home for my team today, and I'm not looking forward to it, but it is what it is. We will be there. So yeah, man, definitely keep all the notifications on for all these channels so that you guys will know every single time where Flawless will go live, or us ourselves will go live. But other than that, thank you guys for all tuning in. Been an absolute great show, great weekend to do UFC content. And yeah, man, we will catch you guys in the next one. Big up to